Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 12 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. We're going through a study of 2 Peter, and this is what's in line for us today. There are actually two paragraphs in the Greek text that we're looking at. 12 through 15 is in part of the first paragraph, and 16 through 18 is part of the second paragraph. But we'll see what we can handle as we look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. So I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth, you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Well, I think as we look at this passage today, it occurs to me, or it seems to be the theme, is truly wholesome reminders. And you could say that about all of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Paul talks about writing these reminders, and that reminders were the first letter that he wrote, and then the second letter that he wrote. And here it repeats this word, the same word. It's a reminder of things that he wants us not to forget. How about you? Do you like reminders? Do you like reminders? Maybe emails that remind you of meetings, or notes on your calendar, or in your phone. I guess for me, it depends upon if it's a reminder to what. If it's a reminder that I have a root canal next week, it's probably not something I want to be reminded over and over about. I guess it's good not to forget, but it's not something I want to hear every day, that they're going to do this to my mouth. Maybe if these meetings are important, we want to be reminded. Maybe they're meetings that we don't want to miss and important, even dentist appointments. You know, the Apostle Peter writes the next few verses reminding us about some things that he doesn't want us to forget. And he does this for good reason. And he tells us we can find the reasons in verses 10 through 11. First of all, so that they will make their calling and election sure. That's one thing that he wants them not to forget. This is important to do. So that they will never fall is another reason. You know, those that stand should be careful that they don't fall. And a third reason, so that they will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. So at least three reasons why they should not forget, why they should be reminded constantly about what he has to tell them. Well, let's look at these three wholesome reminders today that we can find from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Three wholesome reminders. First of all, live. The first reminder, live, making every effort to be established in the truth. I found that in verses 12 through 13. You know, he tells them in chapter 1 how they should be living. Look at verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and those seven or six more characteristics. So he's telling them how to live. And in verses 12 and 13, the emphasis is upon making every effort to be established in the truth. And verse 12 and 13 says this, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. You know, Peter is clear about what he wants to accomplish. He wanted to make sure they didn't forget the truth. And he wanted to refresh their memory, to remind them of things that he had already told them before. Literally there, it is, he wanted to wake them up, kind of stir them up with these things. He wanted to impress them so much with the Word of God that they would never, ever forget about these things. Now, Jesus had told Peter to do what in the Gospel of John? Feed my sheep. And that's what Peter is doing now. He's feeding his sheep. They were established in the truth. They were born again. They were believers. They were followers of Jesus. But sometimes people will forget. They need to be reminded. You know, a good teacher will repeat himself. He'll remind again his students about things that he's taught them before. Now, teachers today know how we remember, things that help us to remember the best. You know, if a teacher just speaks, if he just talks, then people will remember about 25% of what he says. The longer he talks, the less they'll remember if he only speaks. If he talks and there's also something you can see when he talks, then people will remember about 45% of what he presents. And if the third way, if there's something we can see, something we can hear, and something that we can do, then people tend to remember about 70% of that presentation. And Peter wanted to be sure that they were established in the truth. But you know, we can't be established in the truth if we don't remember the truth. And that's the goal here. You know, it had been a very bad day for Jack Swain. He was 3 days old. You know, since the time he had come out of the womb, there had been some major changes in his life. Bright lights, huge noises, his tummy hurt, and he was cold. There was no security outside the womb. You know, that evening, his dad and mom were just exhausted. They were tired. Mom had a C-section. They came home, and the baby was crying. And we didn't know what to do. So Joel took this little baby, and wrapped him tightly in a baby towel or baby blanket. And then he handed him over to Papa. That's me. And it wasn't long before Papa put the sleeper hold on him and he went to sleep. I have that patented, by the way. I still got it. I can still do that. And 4 hours later, he was still asleep. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning when he fell asleep, and like almost seven, and he was still asleep. And it was time to wake up. You know, but he didn't want to wake up. He was too comfortable. He was too cozy with Grandpa. So what we did was he took off the blanket, and he got cold. And that still wasn't enough. So he started hitting the bottom of his feet. And then he woke up. I said, you know, Jack, it's time to get firmly established in life. firmly established of knowing when it's night and when it's day. Those are important things. And to be firmly established in the truth is the first point here. We should live making every effort to be established in the truth. You have to do it with little kids, little babies at the beginning. And God does it to us all through our lives too, doesn't he? He establishes us in his truth. First thing, live that way. Be established in the truth. Second point, live like you're camping out. Look at verses 13 through 15. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. How many of you like to camp out? I like to camp out too, as long as it's not too long, you know, too far away from comfortable things. But here, Peter describes his body as a tent, like Paul did, the Apostle Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, a tent is a temporary shelter on the way from one place to another. And the bodies that God has given to us are temporary. The Bible describes them as a vapor, like this. A vapor. They're like grass. One day they're here, and the next day they're gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know, Peter had been told by Jesus what was going to happen, and so he lived his life with his death always in mind. He speaks here in this passage about the exodus, his departure or his exodus. And I think he's got in his mind this passage that Dave read for us, because the word tent or tabernacle is there in the passage in Luke chapter 9. It's also in this passage. And then also the word exodus occurs. Jesus and Moses and Elijah, we're talking about Jesus' exodus. And here the same word occurs again, right from the Transfiguration passage. Peter wanted to make sure and was going to make sure that his readers would remember the things that he taught. And he wrote them two letters so that they would remember. They could review it after he was gone. And as he lived his life camping out, not becoming too secure in this life, he also made sure that people were knowing that they needed to live their lives for others. Notice the pronouns throughout these verses, the second person, singular and plural, all the way through. Starting in verse 12. So I will always remind who? You. And then the second part of verse 12. Even though you know them, you're established in the truth that you now have. Verse 13. To refresh your memory, and that verse 15, that you will always be able to remember these things. It's all about people around Peter that he's talking to. He's not talking about himself, about making his life secure for himself, but he's talking about making the truth available to other people. You know, the New Testament gives us a picture of Peter's spiritual life. And we remember the bad things, don't we? Remember that he denied Christ three times. And remember that he was restored to Christ three times. Maybe remember in the book of Galatians where Paul confronted him about not living the gospel, not living the gospel of grace for people. And we forget about Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 tells us a story about Peter as a young man. Peter was able to sleep at night in prison while awaiting his trial the next day. And it wasn't really a good time to be in Herod's prison because Herod was putting people to death for being Christians. He had already killed James, and it's possible the next morning he was going to kill Peter as well. But Peter was able to sleep because he believed what Jesus said about how he was going to die. Jesus made that clear in John chapter 21, verse 18, where he says, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you not want to go." In Acts chapter 12, Peter is a young man. He believed what Jesus said, so he knew that his life was not going to end that next morning. But in 2 Peter, he's in his 70s, and he was now living his life like he was camping out. And the time had come when his life would be taken, and he was ready for glory, ready to give up this tent that he had, telling as many people as possible before he departed, living life like he was camping out. And that's a good way to live, isn't it? So, three wholesome reminders. First of all, make every effort to be established in the truth. Secondly, live your life like you're camping out. The third wholesome reminder is live following the Word of God. Look at verses 16 through 18. "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" There are certain things we follow as Christians, and Peter makes it clear here what we don't follow. We don't follow myths, or we don't follow concocted ideas or cleverly invented stories. We follow the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And those kind of stories, those kind of myths, were kind of typical for pagan mythology that was so prevalent everywhere in the Greek culture and Roman culture. That Paul here now is referring to the transfiguration that David read about. And God wants to make sure that we know about that, because he talks about it in three of the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, Luke 9, and here again, Peter mentions it. So at least four times in the Bible, we have this referred to. Peter, James, and John were there. They were present. And they witnessed two things. They witnessed two things. The first thing, they got a glimpse of the coming glory of Jesus Christ at his return. And he described this as a radiant splendor. A radiant splendor. And I think that probably refers to this type of Shekinah glory that was so visible in the temple in the Old Testament. This is what Jesus had. This is what they saw. And a voice, an utterance, if you have the NASV, it says utterance, a voice that said, what did it say? "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The focus, what Peter focuses on here, is not upon what they saw, but upon what they heard. They were eyewitnesses of this event. They believed and they trusted the Word of God, what God said. I brought with me some toys today to talk about and try to illustrate how important it is to be a follower of Jesus and to follow his word carefully. I have some things here that are all invented things. I have, first of all, a plane. How many of you have ever ridden on a plane? Okay, I've ridden on a plane, too. That's good. They're man-made. All these things are man-made. I have a train. How many of you have ridden on a train? Okay, I've ridden on a train, too. And a motorcycle. A motorcycle. Anybody ridden on a motorcycle here? Yeah, I've ridden on that. That's a Suzuki, too. Those are the best. That's the kind I had. And, of course, a car. There's a car. I think we've all driven a car, maybe a truck. But they're all man-made things that we use for transportation. But you know what? All those man-made things can cause us bodily harm, can't they, if we don't use them correctly. For instance, planes, here's about 365 people a year who die riding in planes. And but yet, people see the plane crashes on TV, and what do? They go out and they get right back on the plane. Doesn't make sense. Or trains. About two people a day in the United States die on trains. And another 2,100 are mauled as they, you know, they try to cross over a railroad track before the train gets there. And yet, after they see a railroad crash, what do? They go right back and they get on the what? They get on the train. And motorcycles. Motorcycles. About 5,000 people in the United States a year die on motorcycles. Another 89,000 people are maimed by motorcycles. You know, if you lay down your motorcycle, there's an 80% chance you're going to be injured. 20% chance if you wreck your car, but an 80% chance if you wreck your motorcycle. And cars, there are about how many wrecks or how many deaths per year? 36,000 deaths in the United States because of cars, and 3 million people are injured in car accidents. So they are very dangerous, aren't they? And yet, you know, I didn't notice this morning that anybody that came to our church walked here. Everybody got in a car and came, didn't we? We did it. If you have a motorcycle, you know that people wreck your motorcycles. You go right back out. I'll go right back out and jump on that bike and just roll down that around the road because I like riding. I used to like riding that bike. But they're all man-made. They'll all cause us physical harm, bodily harm. They'll kill us if we don't watch out. And yet people are maimed and go back to these things. Why do people do that? Why do people do things they know that will injure them if they do them? It's because people have trust. They've developed trust in these things. They develop faith in these things. It's amazing, you know, that we'll put our faith and our trust in man-made things that will hurt us. But a lot of people won't put their faith and trust in the Word of God that won't hurt us, but will help us. And it's designed especially for our good. And John writes about this in John chapter 20, verse 31. He tells us why these things are written in the Bible for us. But these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Bible was written so that we might have life in his name. Not that we'll be destroyed or maimed or injured by the things that we depend on all the time, the worldly things. But God gives us something else that's much, 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 much better. Make every effort to be established in the truth. We get that by repeating the Word of God, by repeatedly studying the Word of God. Secondly, live your life like you're camping out. Have the right priorities, realizing that this life is short. It's not going to be forever. And finally, live following the Word of God. Make that your goal, to follow the Word of God in all of your decisions, all the ways that you go in this life. Well, how about you? Do you like reminders? I guess it depends upon what I'm being reminded of. How are you making your calling and your election sure? That's one of the purposes for the reminders, is that we'll know for certain that we're going to be in heaven because of the assurance the Holy Spirit gives us as we obey Him. Thirdly, are you expecting a rich welcome into God's kingdom? There are some people that live their lives like, hey, I'm going to get to heaven, but it's just going to be by the skin of my teeth. And they kind of live on the edge. They just stay on the edge. And they do that purposely. And the Bible tells us, don't do that. Live your life so that you'll have a reward, a rich welcome into God's kingdom. And the final question is, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you given your life to Jesus? That's the most important thing that anybody could do in this life. After this life ends, it's too late. Just while we have breath, we can do that. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for entering our lives today and reminding us again of the most important things. The most important things. Lord, we just pray that you'll work in our lives to help us to know you better, and that we won't give up turning to you, turning things over that need to be turned over to you. Lord, we just pray that your word will work powerfully in us throughout this coming week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.